Now we're going to get around to our guests this morning. It's no mystery, but we have lined this up this week because there are two events that are coming in, and one of them is the field day for the... I'm going to have you get right up to that microphone, unaccustomed to public speaking as you are, Clark. Clark Adams is here from the Lark Radio Club, Lake Area Radio Club.
Right.
And Lark is a an association of amateur radio operators that's been around for a long, long time in Watertown, doing a lot of good things as far as public service. It's one of the strangest hobbies in the world because you can be a ham radio operator, belong to the club, associate with these people, and never see them. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Well, I guess that is. But it's a very valuable part of our community here, as Jim Sutton, our county emergency management director, will testify to here in a couple of moments. Clark, first of all, where is our field day headquarters located today as we speak?
We're going to be setting up about 11 o'clock at Stokes Thomas Park out at the lake, just a little bit west of the memorial. And we'll have, I think, two or three trailers out there, and we're going to have a couple of tower trailers. And you'll see ham radio from soup to nuts this weekend. This is the weekend when we get out, and we work in the field. We work on battery power or solar power. We don't plug into anything. And it's basically emergency preparedness is what it amounts to. And in order to make it fun, we turn it into a contest where we're trying to make as many contacts as possible around the United States and the world in 24 hours. And so we'll be working from, I think, 12 o'clock until 12 tomorrow. Continuously around the clock. So,
but people are invited to come and see what you do.
That's right.
And they can actually talk on the radio?
They sure can.
Yeah.
You bet. If you're slightly interested in ham radio, come out and see what we do. We're going to be using just about every mode of communication we can. They'll all be on radio, but there's different types of communication you can use on the radio to pass information.
Sure. Well, there's packets and there's all sorts of things. There's repeaters that are used. We have a very great repeater, a couple of them here in Watertown, that will broadcast and transmit the signal from a small handheld out over a broad area, and then the person on the other end, say, is down at Clear Lake or Haytie or Clark or wherever, they can also hit that repeater and talk back. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. And we've got one of the repeaters connected up to the Internet, so with a little four-digit code in my handheld radio, I can talk all over the world. I talk to some guys in Fargo regularly every morning at 7 o'clock, and Aberdeen and Fargo, and we discuss what's going on in the weather between here and there. And it's kind of fun. Like I say, that's done with a little handheld radio. So we've got lots of different things that we're getting into. I know we're going to have a satellite station out there. So if you're interested in talking through satellites, you can come on out and take a look at what we've got out there for that.
That's one of the more recent innovations in ham radio, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's been around for quite a few years, but it's a little easier now. The equipment keeps getting smaller and smaller. The antennas are still pretty good size, but the equipment keeps getting smaller.
Well, one of our Watertown residents is no longer with us. Stan Burkhart, pioneered radio, amateur radio here in Watertown in the early years. And he's been a favorite and a friend of a lot of people. I walked into an amateur radio store out in Southern California one time, and I happened to mention the fact that I knew Stan Burkhart, and it's like I'd been introduced to Michael Jackson or something. They were just really thrilled that Stan was really quite a celebrity.
Now, Stan was a radio icon.
He really was. And those of us that have had the privilege of working Stan on the air and in person, it's been always a thrill. Okay, now I'm going to tie something together here. Jim Sutton is with us, and Jim is the Cottington County Emergency Management Director. We've had talked about what you do an awful lot, Jim, and you've been busy, I know, this last, with all what's going on and with the weather. How do you tie in with the County Emergency Management? How do you tie in with the Lake Area Radio Club, the amateur people here in Watertown?
Well, when we're down at the emergency management office monitoring weather that's coming into the county, I contact the Lake Area Radio Club. Usually I contact Clark and Orval Alwyn. One of those two gentlemen come right down to my office. And in the emergency management office, we're equipped with ham radios down there in our office. Then the Lake Area Radio Club has a number of club members that are active in weather spotting. And Clark or Val will communicate with their club members right there from our office. And that gives us more eyes in to the sky, you know, that help us monitor the weather as it's moving into our county.
But you have to be trained. That's the thing that people, you don't just want people sitting out on a hill of Millette Hill or wherever you happen to be, or out here at on Carpenter Hill south of town. You want people that are trained, and that you take part in that part of it too, don't you?
That's correct. And every spring we have weather spotter training sessions that we invite people to attend. The main thing when it comes to weather spotting is that we want people out there spotting for us, but we want it done safely. And by training these volunteers, they not only have knowledge on cloud formations and, you know, what the storm's doing, but our trained spotters, they have communications with us. So if we see something on radar or the National Weather Service alerts us to something that they see, they contact us, and we can relay that information to that weather spotter and get them out of a particular area if we don't feel that is a safe area to be.
Well, in recent meetings that you've had with the county commissioners, you're in the process of not only upgrading but maintaining communications so that you can pick up your small radio and or in your car. You can talk to Aberdeen or a number of places across the state. Is that correct?
That's correct. And, you know, technology is kind of a marvelous thing.
Oh, yes.
You know, right from my home now, I get on the computer and I can actually get on the National Weather Service site and see the radar that they're watching there in Aberdeen. I can take a portable radio in, like Clark was talking about earlier, take a portable radio and I can talk to the National Weather Service right from my computer at my residence now. So.
And that does something as far as the time element for warning, and that's important. You know, we all know that we should be pretty well aware, because through commercial radio, and specifically like Todd does when we have bad weather, and Rod Lenning and those people here at KWAT that are kind of weather buffs in the sense, but you also need this connection with out of our immediate listening area, because storms don't originate, well, they might right outside of town, but they come in from west to east, and this is something that you are training yourself and you're training the people on how all of these weather things work.
Right. People really need to really pay attention when severe weather is moving in, because these thunderstorms develop in a very short period of time in some cases, and they change in intensity. What you see on the weather radar, you know, 10 minutes later, it's a whole different story. So people need to pay attention, and that's the reason that we have weather spotters out there, you know, watching these cloud formations, because they change so quickly, and we need to sometimes get that warning out to people in a timely manner. And that's where radio stations like KWAT can come into play. Because people can monitor their local radio station and get up-to-date information.
Well, it's a very, very important facet of it. We're going to continue our discussion here, but we're going to take a break. We're back to our guest this morning, Clark Adams from the Lake Area Radio Club, and, of course, Jim Sutton, who's our County Emergency Management Director. The business of weather is one of the most universal items of interest, young or old. In the wintertime, we want to know, the kids want to know, is there enough blizzard to cause the schools to close? In the summertime, are we going to have enough calm winds to go out on the lake and water ski and do those kinds of things? But I was, an interesting statistic, and I can't remember the exact numbers, but Jim, lightning is a very, very treacherous thing out there. I know one person who has actually survived a lightning strike. So it must be fairly prevalent, isn't it?
It's very
dangerous.
Common. And yeah. There's a number of people that are killed each summer from lightning strikes. And basically what the experts say is, you know, if you can hear the thunder, you can be struck by lightning.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you're out on the golf course or out on the lake fishing and you see a thunderstorm rolling in, you really need to take shelter and get to a safe place. And when we're talking about safe places, you want to stay off of high the hills. You want to stay away from trees. You want to stay away from metal structures. Because lightning tends to go to the highest object.
And yes.
If you're standing on the hill and you're the tallest object,
you're it.
So,
yeah.
You definitely want to take shelter and don't be complacent. You want to know that lightning does kill, and you need to get yourself and your children into a safe place when thunderstorms roll in.
Jim, what about being out? You're out in a high area. Maybe you're involved in agriculture or whatever, but you're out in an area where you haven't got a building. You've been on a tractor. What do you do in that case? What if you really got a barn burner of a storm coming across? If you can't make it home, what do you do there?
Well, you just need to find some place to seek shelter, be it under a tractor or in a vehicle. You need to, get to the lowest place possible to protect yourself from lightning. And find that safest place. Every situation is a little bit different, but you just got to seek out that safe place and get to an area of shelter.
Clark, as an observer, now is a typical situation. You get a call. You know that the weather's going to be bad. You activate all of your people. What do they do first of all? How do they handle this?
Majority of them have got a pre-arranged spot where they go to, and then they'll sit out there and watch and see how the weather's coming at us. And from time to time, depending on what the weather's doing, Jim will have us arrange them in different configurations.
Oh, really?
And sometimes we don't really chase as much as the television or the media would like to have you think.
Yeah.
Smart people stay put and let the storm come to them, and are always on the back side of the store, to the south side of the storm, so that they stay out of harm's way if at all possible. It's easier to observe than to get in the middle of things. It's not quite as much fun sometimes.
Well, you can't see much if you're in the middle of it, obviously, and
yeah.
You don't. And what do we do at night then on this, Jim? This is a problem, isn't it?
It becomes difficult to spot the. Thunderstorms at night because, it's dark out. And that's where you need to be setting in a location to where you can really pay attention and watch the clouds as the lightning strikes and lights up the sky. But it is difficult after dark, and many times in our area, that's when we see the thunderstorms is after dark. They tend to form out around the Missouri River in the afternoon, and the system starts moving to the east. And like last night, it gets here around midnight.
Yeah, and the thunder is something that you can get hit by lightning. Even if you're not really close to the storm, that's the thing. Clark, that's something that I think those spotters probably realize, too, don't they?
Well, they say that they've had people get hit by lightning 10 miles away, that there wasn't even a storm in the area. It doesn't seem possible, but it is.
I was flying one time over in Minnesota coming out of Minneapolis, and I was parallel to a storm that was, I say, 25 miles away from me, and I was getting hit in the airplane by very heavy rain, and it was above me. It was sky blue, and I was looking at the storm off to the left, and I was flying in rain, and so that tells you that this can have an effect away from your own environment, and you can get hit by lightning. You can get rain. This morning it was raining down here a little bit earlier this morning too. So now, okay, if somebody, the general public's involved here. Say that maybe Jim can handle this. What if somebody observes a tornado they think is a tornado? They're not trained, but, it gets kind of obvious when that funnel starts down. Do you want to hear from the public as far as the dispatchers are concerned?
Absolutely. People can call the emergency management office at 882-6272 and report what they're seeing there.
Do you man those phones at that time?
We man the phones when severe weather's moving in.
Okay.
There's times where, we're monitoring the weather as it's coming in. If there's no severity to the system, we may not be down at the office. But if there's anything unusual and you call the emergency management office, you don't get an answer, please call the law enforcement center, the sheriff's department or the police department, and you can report what you're seeing. They relay the information to me in a timely manner.
Well, that's important to remember that the public, you have to take some responsibility for yourself in this. But the storm, now, you just don't get out and scatter. You go under, are you under the, in the sense of the cooperation or the auspices of the emergency management when we get these weather warnings that we have here?
They pretty much direct us where they need us.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
a coordinated effort, and that way things get done more efficiently than if everybody just takes off to a different direction and you got five people sitting in a crossroads. That doesn't do you any good. So
yeah,
that's
I can
where
see
the
that.
Radios come in handy, and both modes of radio come in handy, too. We had a situation a couple of years ago where right in the middle of one of our storm activations, South Shore had a medical emergency, and so all of a sudden one of our channels was taken up with a medical emergency, and so the spotter up there just switched over to ham radio, and we just continued on the way we were doing. So it's quite handy to have multiple availability of channels.
Now, you brought up something that I want to go into this next question, because ham radio, with this, no sliding on all of the other aspects of it, but it's, you mentioned battery powered, so you aren't subject to a telephone or to a power line going down. You've got standby power, you've got battery operated, and you've got equipment that now that it's small, your Kenwood transceiver is sitting right here on the table, and the lights could go out here at the radio station, and you could still continue to conduct communications between the emergency management director's office and the spotters out there. That's something that is often brought up, because although the public entity also has standby power generators, but this is immediate. You don't have to activate anything. You're right there to start with.
We have our repeater here in Watertown beefed up to the point where I believe we've calculated out we can go almost a week without any kind of power added to the repeater. We've got batteries up there that mm-hmm. will run for almost a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without any additional power. And we had that situation in that ice storm a few years ago where the ham radio operators were going mm-hmm. out about three times a week and recharging the batteries in their repeaters, because at some point they were the only communications around. And so I like to think that some of the other services take a page out of our book periodically and look at what we're doing and adapt.
Well, it's a wonderful cooperation. That's the thing I like about it. You know, there's no rivalry here. We're better than you, or we make more communications than you. No, it's not that way. It's an entity, Jim, that thrives on cooperation. And incidentally, it thrives without any taxpayer money. Is that right, Jim?
No, with the Lake Area yeah. Radio Club, that's correct.
Yeah.
You know, any good communication system, you have to have redundancy. And, you know, if the communication system that I have, the state digital radio system, goes down, we have other means of communications. And ham radio is a very good means of communication.
Sure.
In time of an emergency, we can call upon, like, the Lake Area Radio Club, and they step up to the plate, and they provide communications if the other radio systems are down, or they work with us, like I said, with weather spotting, and they're working side by side with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's a neat entity. Well, we're almost up to break time here. We're going to wrap things up with these guys here after the break, but I do want to remind you that they're going to the Lake Area Radio Club, LARC, is going to be out at the Stokes Thomas City Park, just west of the memorial, you said.
Yes.
The
uh-huh.
World War II Memorial out there, or the Veterans Memorial out
yeah,
there
if you have
at the lake.
A young one that, or kid, anyone up to 18 years old that would even slightly interested in ham radio, bring them on out and we'll put them on the air.
That's fun.
Because the national organization gives us points if we get the kids on the air and get them interested.
Oh,
so
that's good.
Bring them out and we'll have them talk to somebody across the nation.
We're going to be back. Go ahead, Jim.
And I'd also like to say that, you know, if the person's unable to make it out to the city park today to visit with the Lake Area Radio Club members, if there are people out there that are interested, feel free to call the emergency management office, and we'll definitely get you in contact with the club members, and you can get more information on ham radio.
We have other disasters that that plague us, Jim. I know, I don't say plague us, but that do come along, and you were involved in this little boy that was lost during some very, very inclement weather over in Clear Lake. And your people come out at that point, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
With the Cotting County Search and Rescue Team. And,
yeah.
And emergency management plays a role in a search like that.
So that's important, and ham radio can be involved in not only just weather, but in other situations. I know that, say that we're having a large gathering. I remember here a few years back, we had a gigantic air show here at Watertown. And the ham radio operators were really out there helping the police in this instance with traffic.
We were doing traffic control out there for that situation.
You do. So you're not only involved with weather, but you're working with celebrations and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Even a rodeo or something like that, where there's a lot of people coming into town, lots of vehicles, and they need to have a little direction and a little help there.
And the Lake Erie Radio Club's been very active with assisting, like, the Park and Rec department with the triathlons. That we've had in the Watertown area, and they've provided communications for those events. So they provide a very valuable service to our region.
So if you're going to be around today, now I had a question from a friend that wanted to take her grandson out to the ham field day at the lake. So you're going to be ready to go at 11 o'clock, is that right, Clark?
Yeah, we should be ready. We'll be on the air, I believe, at 1 o'clock for sure. I think 12 o'clock is what we're headed for. We'll be starting to set up about 10:30, 11 o'clock, so you can come out and watch us put everything in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't get on the air until probably about 12 or 1 o'clock, sometime in there.
So if there's all the hams out there that want to tune in, why, of course, you've got the repeater. You're going to be on all bands, I would take it, and that are available out there, at least for the equipment that you have to use.
Everything that works, we'll be talking on.
There you go. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Anything, Jim, that you want to add here this morning? Because I know that you got a busy schedule. You got meetings to go to and things to do and places to be. But I know you've had a busy schedule this past week in meetings. Is that right?
We've been very busy. But the last thing I'd like to say this morning is how much myself and the emergency management staff appreciate the Lake Area Radio Club and the valuable service that they provide to our community.
Mm-hmm.
Without volunteers like the Lake Area Radio Club members, we just couldn't do our job in an efficient manner.
And you couldn't go out and buy that service, really, without a major staffing situation, but it's already in place and has been for years with the Lake Area Radio Club.
And we're proud and happy to do it.
See, that's great. Well, anybody has any questions, they can contact Clark Adams or any member of the Lake Area Radio Club. They're glad to... one thing about ham radio operators, they're always anxious to talk about their hobby.
You can also go on our website, which is www.w0wtn.org.
Say that again.
W0wtn.org is our website.
And it's got a lot of information in there. Man, it's a beautiful website.
Yeah,
and
you can see what we've
done. Did Kevin put that together?
Yep, yeah. Kevin Harrington put that together.
Boy, that is just... job. Yeah, I get in there every week, and it's fun to just kind of wander through. And that's great. Well, gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate the time that you guys have taken. We hope to have an interview from some fishing activity down at Lake Ponsett. We're going to check on that. We're going to have Todd take over, do a little bit of... weather information, maybe a baseball story or two, and talking about what we got an early baseball game. Clark Adams, Jim Sutton, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Shall we go to the telephone line? Good morning. What's up?
Hi, this is Dave Levasseur, also with Ham Radio Club.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to mention, too, that on occasion we've actually been able to communicate with the folks on the space station.
Wonderful.
And I was wondering if Clark was also going to mention that.
But well, I think we got kind of involved in the weather, and we didn't get to all of the facets of that, because that is one of the things that's exciting for ham radio operators, to be able to communicate that way.
Yeah, I think we're going to try that again this weekend. So,
are you really?
I believe so. It's part of our goal. I think we did it in other years, and we're going to try it again this year.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, thanks for adding that into our important conversation this morning. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Okay, time to take our break. Right, Todd?
Yep.
Here we go.
KWAT, Watertown, South Dakota, 9 o'clock.